He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
I'm not going to sing this week because I got criticized last week for singing.
Who criticized you?
Dean.
He did? It felt
Dean,
like him.
Dean.
I don't understand.
Oh, I love your singing.
Dean has your album.
All of them.
Yeah. He plays it at his treehouse.
I wonder what my album's called.
Everyone knows it's Wendy.
Everyone knows it's Wendy.
It's my favorite album.
Bomb.
Hey, Dean, this is serious. There might be a big writer's strike, right?
What?
Yes. If that happens.
No more writing.
Who knows? People are going to be forbidden from picking up pencils and pens.
Yep.
Of all kinds. This is for television and movie writers. The talks are stalled, not moving anywhere. And if that happens, life as we know it could be over.
It's over.
Really. I mean, TV dramas, comedies.
Yeah.
Will all stop. This is sort of the way reality television got its biggest kick in the pants and got started.
Yeah.
What was it, like 10 years ago, something like that, when the writers last went on strike?
Yeah. And do you remember, Dean, the last time this happened, they would rush projects. They knew a writer's strike was impending, and then they rushed all kinds of projects to get them done quick. Is that going on now?
Not publicly. I mean, nobody's saying that publicly, but I would be shocked if that wasn't going on right now, if they weren't encouraging people to to try to get projects done because, this was, as far as the TV and movie business, this was kind of crippling last time that this happened.
And it was 10 years ago?
About 10 years ago.
I think it was, yeah. I mean, this is when, they needed to, they were running, reruns like crazy, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But
finally, I could catch up on my Andy Griffith show.
Good time to,
right.
Good time to see what finally happened to Otis the Town Drunk. Yeah.
You know who else it affects a lot is the late night TV shows.
Oh.
Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, all those shows are affected.
Right.
And I remember last time, like, the stars of the shows would try to write for them just themselves. Like if you were Jay Leno, you go, all right, the writers are on strike. I just got to write the show myself. Letterman, they tried doing that. It's not easy.
Yeah, you realize the value of having a team of writers when you try to do it yourself and it falls completely flat.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going to happen. And they were negotiating the Writers Guild of America, representing the writers, was meeting with the studios, et cetera, and everything is at a halt right now, which is not a good sign.
If there is a strike, it would take place pretty soon, right? In a week or so?
That's what they were saying, that it would be around the beginning of May.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. See, this is why you never see a radio going on strike.
No.
You don't see that happening.
Our writers have gone on strike. You can tell if you listen to our show.
Right. That was in 1967.
Right.
Yes. So that's why Wendy and I, we just read Dixie Rule Cups through the whole show. That's all we do.
That's not far off.
No, I know.
I think the radio people did go on strike at sometime in like around 1967 or so.
Oh, did they?
I remember as a kid taking the train downtown. So I could go see my favorite DJs who were picketing in front of their, their respective radio stations back in the day. I believe I caught a Ron Riley and Art Roberts, the big DJs of the day. A Dex Card.
Oh, was he out there too?
I think so.
All the big names.
I think so. And I have a little. I still have this. I'm nowhere near the hoarder status of a Bill Leff.
No.
With memorabilia, but I do have an old transistor radio that's got the autographs from all the old DJs of the day that I got when they were on strike.
So they were picketing, but they would still take a few minutes to give, like, time and traffic and stuff, right?
They did.
Right. Personal report.
Yeah, sure.
I was trying to talk to them, hey, Mr. Roberts, I'm interested. Can you give me some advice? Yeah, it's 37 degrees here in downtown Chicago.
We're on strike. More after this.
How scary, though, because radio jobs like now, back then for sure, they were tough to come by. And to be able to stand up for what you believe in and go on strike, good for them.
I'd
be a scab in a second.
Yep,
they had office people filling in back then. It was the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, the
AFTRA,
Radio and TV Performers Union, that went out on strike.
Wow.
I think I saw Floyd Calber.
Was he out there, Floyd Calber?
I got Floyd Calber's autograph. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we hope that there's no strike because we want to be entertained. It'd be awful if the writers went on strike, so let's hope it doesn't happen. Dean, you got to have a sit-down with the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, correct?
Yeah, I saw the movie yesterday.
I am so jelly. I can't wait
to
see it.
That's Wendy for jealous.
No, it's an 18-year-old or a 12-year-old. Oh. That's what they say. That's what the kids say today.
Is that what they're saying?
I thought you were like a bird from England. You birds. I'm so jelly. Oh, you birds.
Yeah.
I can't give a full review of the movie
not yet.
Right now.
No.
No, the
but to sit down with the cast, that's a pleasant afternoon, I hope.
That was very, very, very nice. I will say, if you like the first movie, I'll just say that you'll be pleased with this, but I'll have a lot more details on the movie as we get closer to the opening, which is May 5th, by the way. But, you know, Chris Pratt is...
God, I love him.
He is getting very close to my great guys in Hollywood list, close to Tom Hanks. Of being, you know, arguably one of the biggest A-listers that there is, and being completely unaffected by it all. Super nice guy. When we were getting ready to start the interview, I'm waiting for him in the room where we're going to do the interview, and he's coming down the hallway, and there's three little kids who are in the hallway, and they're so excited. They're just so excited to see the guy from Jurassic Park, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. And he stops and talks with them, and he's goofing around and playing with them, and he's doing the, give me five. He puts his hand out, and then when they go to slap his hand, he moves his hand away.
That kills every time,
that's
by the
kills.
Way.
The kids love that. I do that all the time, too. But he was, like, just such a cool guy who just, certainly didn't need to take time to say hello to the kids and be nice and, give them a memory they'll remember all their lives. But and when you sit down to talk with them, could not be nicer. All of his castmates have nothing but great things to say about him, which is you don't always find that to be the case. Zoe Saldana, who was in Avatar, who's in this movie again, also fantastic. We talked with John Rooker from The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
Michael Rooker. Sorry, he's got a kind of a major, a pretty significant role in this film. And Kurt Russell's in the movie as well. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say, because it's been pretty much everywhere, that he plays Chris Pratt's father in this movie. But there's one scene that's supposed to be a flashback to when Kurt Russell was young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it looks very 70s. He's driving around on a convertible muscle car. And it looks like the Kurt Russell that we remember from back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Like really super young. And I asked him how they did that scene. How did that? It's got to be something electronic. And he said that his makeup guy was able to do that. That it's almost.
I need that makeup guy. Can I tell you?
I'm telling you, right? That's what I said. He took 30 years off of his face.
He de-aged him.
He de-aged him, and they did a little bit of electronic manipulating as well. But the movie is exciting and funny. A great soundtrack, great 70s, 80s soundtrack to the whole thing. So a very, very pleasant experience.
You know, one of the things you mentioned that Chris Pratt has like a Tom Hanks type of a demeanor to him and a style. And here's the thing. In both of those cases, they were very unlikely leading men. When you think of Tom Hanks in the early days when he was doing Bosom Buddies, you wouldn't say to yourself, I bet at some point that guy wins two Academy Awards and he's one of the hottest actors in Hollywood. And Chris Pratt was the same with Parks and Recreation. I just saw an episode the other day from season 2 or season 3 where he's really great on the show, but you don't say to yourself, I bet in a couple of years that's one of the biggest leading men in Hollywood.
Right.
It doesn't make sense on either case, but look what they've done.
We interviewed Chris Pratt, I'm going to say maybe 10, 12 years ago, something like that. He had a very minor role in a CW. I don't even know if it was CW or the WB at that time, but it was a TV show called Everwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him being a super nice guy, but I think, it was extremely unremarkable.
Yeah.
Like, really nothing. His role was nothing special. Honestly, his acting was competent. It was very good. But as Bill says, it's not something where you're going to go, wow, this guy's going to be one of the most sought after actors in Hollywood someday.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird though. When I watched Bosom Buddies, I thought for sure Peter Scolari would be the one to branch out make millions.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
That's true. And especially after the Newhart show where he was hilarious.
Right.
He was actually, that's true. I forgot he did that.
Yeah, he was a standout on that as well.
The strangest thing is, Dean, a couple of years ago, I got a chance to interview Tom Hanks and I said to him, is there ever talk of a Bosom Buddies reunion? And he said, I want to do it. Peter Scolari doesn't want to do it.
Really?
You would think the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
I asked Hanks. He was with Leonardo DiCaprio. Was the movie Catch Us If You Can?
Yeah, Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can, which they were together. And I told them both how excited I was to be talking to one of the stars of Bosom Buddies and one of the stars of... Was it not Facts of Life? What
the one with Alan Thicke?
The one with Alan Thicke.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains.
Yeah,
and neither one of them found that remotely funny that I was even bringing it up. Stone cold faces. Tom Hanks, who's usually, you know, like Mister, you could joke around and say anything you want to him.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's because, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was there. Oh, Mister, serious actor's here with me. I better act outraged too.
But you know what? That's strange is when Alan Thicke died a couple months ago, Leonardo DiCaprio came out of the woodwork to talk about what a great relationship they had, and he was like a second dad to him.
Right.
Well, so, this was 10 years ago. He's accepted it now.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that's it, exactly. All right, we'll find out more from Dean Richards about what movies to see and which to avoid this week. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're talking with Dean Richards, and let's talk about some new movies that you have seen, Dean.
Well, let's start off then with Norman. It's the new Richard Gere movie. It's a little, there are no huge movies that are opening this weekend, but there are a couple of little ones that are worth talking about. And Norman is one of them. It's a little indie that Richard Gere has done about a quirky New York guy who is oblivious to everything, but thinks he can accomplish anything. He's one of these guys. It's not done with malice. He's not a guy that is out to get anybody. He is a people pleaser, and it's really a character study of this man who is he's trying to get things done. He's trying to impress people. He's trying to get people to like him. And
sounds like the story of my life.
Yeah,
and is mostly failing.
Oh.
That's where we draw the line, Wendy. Right there. That's where we draw the line. Dean, would you agree with this statement? Richard Gere is an often misunderstood, if not misappreciated actor, underappreciated, don't you think,
yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah, I would think so. And I think really that's the greatest value of this movie is that it, to me, reminded me of what, at the core, what a really good actor Richard Gere is, because there really is not a lot going on in this movie. It's a whole series of interesting things, really almost without a point. But I was a little bit fascinated in Richard Gere's acting and the mechanics of what he was doing. But I just got caught up. It's like, you know, if you take the train every day and you see the same quirky guy sitting across from you every day, it's a little bit fascinating.
Yeah.
Or if you're, you know, go to the same diner, you know, same restaurant, you know, there's certain regulars who are there that really they're not really doing anything, but they're just quirky, interesting characters. And that's what I think Richard Gere offers us in this film. It's only in two or three theaters around the Chicago area this weekend, so it's going to be a little bit tough to find for most people. But I gave it a Dean's List C+. I enjoyed it.
You know, I always liked him. I always liked Richard Gere. I think he's one of those actors that, because he's such a good-looking guy, sometimes you look past his acting ability and just notice that he's a handsome man. But then he was in a movie, and we're going back several years, with Diane Lane, called Unfaithful.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was such a great performance of a guy who just loves his wife and realizes she's having an affair and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't handle it real well.
Right.
Spoiler alert. But, I always enjoy Richard Gere. I think he's so good.
Getting around to seeing that film.
Oh, sorry. He handles it great.
I realize it's been about 15 years.
Yeah.
But
He handles it really well.
I have it sitting right on top of my 8-track player. Too.
Unfaithful.
Yeah. No,
I saw Unfaithful and I saw Unforgiven together.
Wow.
That's the 2-pack.
That's a good night out.
Yeah.
That's a cheery night out.
Yep. That was
a
fun
time. I
remember
loving that movie and leaving it so depressed.
Yes.
At the same time. But it was a great movie. And he was great. And the guy that wound up marrying Halle Berry.
Olivier Martinez.
Olivier Martinez.
Wow,
He was the other guy.
Yeah.
He was the other guy in that movie.
So and my wife kept saying, Dean, imagine what that's like to cheat on Richard Gere. Like, you're not happy with that marriage. You got to go elsewhere because Richard Gere's your husband. And that's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He was not exactly, a walk in the park, though, either, as part of that marriage.
I know.
And that was part of the story of this movie, is every marriage has its own story.
Yep.
Anywho, the Richard Gere movie, C+, it's called Norman. Do you remember this Disney nature film that came out a couple of years ago about gorillas?
A little bit.
I don't remember what it was called now. It might have been
Gorillas.
It might have been called that.
Yeah.
But Disney has...
Gorillas Just Want to Have Fun. That's what it was called.
That could be.
I saw the wheels turning, by the way, Dean. I wish you could have been looking at him.
I thought I smelled something burning. I wondered what that was.
That was my brain.
Disney has a division called Disney Nature, where they do these really cool films. The gorilla one was really super interesting, about going deep into the forest and... photographing things that had never been seen before. They've done it again now with a new film called Born in China. It's a documentary that takes you deep into the most remote places in China, and you follow monkeys and snow leopards and pandas.
Yeah.
And you see how they interact, mostly within their own species, but with each other. And it's I like movies like that.
Yeah.
I think they're super interesting. It's about an hour and a half and beautifully photographed. Constantly saying to yourself when you see a movie like this, wonder how they shot this.
Right.
I wonder how long it took to get that shot of a spider on a log.
Yeah.
With just the right light and so forth. Beautiful, beautiful film. So the Disney nature film, Born in China, gets a Dean's List B+.
That sounds good.
And the other movie this weekend I've not seen, I'll see a little bit later on today, is called The Promise, that stars Oscar Isaac and Christian Bale.
Oh.
It's the story of the end of the Ottoman Empire, as I understand it. So it's a very political drama.
And the Ottoman Empire is the one that Dick Van Dyke always tripped over?
Yes. That's the controversy of this whole thing. I say we put the Ottoman over there. Someone's going to trip on it if you put it right by the door.
Sure.
I'm telling you, no one's going to trip on this Ottoman for at least one season of worth of shows.
I'm in. You sold it.
It's actually the slaughter of millions of Armenians.
Oh.
But also a love triangle that's also interwoven into this. I'm told that the movie is okay. I'm hearing it's not great, but it's okay. It sounds really interesting to me. I like movies like this too. Mm-hmm. So I'll have the full review on this tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show.
Dean, awesome. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Have a tremendous weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys soon. Bye.
That's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Amy Guth has on the Wintrust Business Launch. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.